Welcome to Naja Reviews. This is Brian, your host. And today, we're going to continue our cubicle journey with Cube 2, Hypercube. I didn't even have to make up a stupid tag for this one, because I already have one. I did not recognize anybody in this movie, except from this movie. But it doesn't really count. I will explain. Well, I guess I probably won't explain, but you'll understand why later. We can't talk about it now. Because I remember two things about this movie, and they're on the back half of this movie, so I can't talk about them now. I don't know if I said that this one was going to be more exciting, or I hoped that it was going to be more exciting than the first one. Unfortunately, it's not as good, and the first one wasn't very good, so that's not good. Do I think this one could have been a lot better? Well, a lot's a stretch, but better for sure. This is one of those movies where, you know, the cliche of horror movies where you have the cold open with the first kill. Like in the first one, it was the guy getting cubed and that lets us know what's up. This one doesn't have that. So yes, there's a bit of a mystery, but it's like we've seen the first one and the mystery is you're stuck in a cube. So they don't have the opening kill to let us know what's going on, basically. It just shows us some inner workings of the company that is built the cube, but nothing worth giving a shit about. So the first half, and I looked while I was watching it when I was taking the notes, the first half is boring, people walking through cube rooms, and for the most part, nothing exciting happens. At least the first one recognized that, hey, we're gonna need to have some traps and stuff to keep people entertained. This one was like, we're going to front load this movie with a bunch of exposition that no one cares about. And then in the back half, we might do some fun stuff with the Hypercube. Maybe. Depends on your version of fun stuff. Also, the first one was made with a whole lot of practical effects. Like when the Ren got his face melted, that was an amazing practical effect, in my opinion. It might not be amazing, but it's fun to watch a practical puppet melt as if it was a person when you like horror movies the way that I do. This one has some desiccated corpses in it that look pretty good. The rest of everything else that happens in this movie, for the most part, is horrific CGI. And I'll explain how they could do at least one of the effects, because there's, like, not that many. One of the effects, practically. Some of the background effects are CG, which makes sense with the movie, and I don't care about those. I'm talking about, like, the murdery parts of the movie. We'll get to that later. There's more to it than, like, the first one was just like, we're stuck and we have to get out, and there's traps in these rooms and there's not traps in other rooms, and everybody that's in here has a skill that can help. This one is set up a bit differently, and there's not really a goal, so it makes the movie, well, there is a goal, but you don't learn about it until the last scene of the movie, and by that point you don't give a shit enough to care at all about anything that happens. And all of the sad moments that they were like, oh, this is sad, you can tell from the music that's what you're supposed to feel, and the slow motion, and you're just like, yeah, I don't give a shit at all whatsoever, because you made the character that we're supposed to feel bad about kind of a cocky fucking person. I don't know, it's hard to explain. Also, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in my opinion, but I'll explain that in the overview, because it's like a twist that I can't say right now. So this one's not as good as the first one, and it's not by much, because the first one wasn't that great. The first one was just more fun to watch because of the effects and how the characters changed over time, the ones that did in the first one. That doesn't really happen in this one. One guy goes crazy, but he's already been crazy since the first time we saw him, just a different kind of crazy, and that's about it. Everybody else stays the same, other than a couple of twists and turns, which aren't character development, really. They're just, this isn't what you thought it was, type of stuff. So I shouldn't say this, but if you're gonna watch this movie, you can literally skip to just before halfway and hit play, and you will be more entertained than if you watched the whole thing, because it's an hour and 30 minutes and half of that is boring, pointless shit that doesn't really matter. You will be as confused if you come in halfway as if you started from the beginning, because they're talking about theoretical hypercubes and stuff. So if you were discouraged by the fucking math in the first one, this one's like math cubed. Ha 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 ha. By the way, they write it as cube squared hypercube, and that doesn't make any sense because it's cube. You save that shit for the third movie, so it actually is fun, because then you have your cube cubed. But they're like, nah, we're just going to do it for the second one. Fuck it. Even though it makes no damn sense at all. It's like Alien 3. It's written as Alien Cubed. It's pointless and stupid. With all that being said, let's get into this overview so I don't ever have to watch this movie again. So glad I chose to do these because it made me realize how bad these are, for the most part. Spoilers ahead, we open up with an overhead shot of people on gurneys. And these are the people that we will be following for the rest of the movie. Not all of the gurneys have people in them. It's kind of like the twisty twist thing that I was talking about earlier. And then we open on an eye and some tech stuff and a company named Izon. And this lady that is named Rebecca, she goes through one of the new doors that are touch activated. And she falls down even though she was moving horizontally. So she walks through the door and then just falls because there's a shift in gravity and she wasn't ready for it. Which I'm pretty sure you could tell just by sticking your arm through the door that there's different forces of gravity on you. But then again, it is a movie after all. So then we cut to Colonel Thomas, don't care about the rest of his name, and he's been beat up. He's asking things like, shouldn't I get a chance to figure out the code and all this stuff? And we hear some ominous ghostly voices. It's not ghosts, but that's what it sounds like. And he starts praying. And then we cut to Kate, our main character, and she finds Simon laying on the ground. And he was fake asleep, and he's got a knife, and he threatens her. And like, are you alone? How did I get here? That kind of shit. That happens a lot in this movie. Because it has to. And they hear more voices that no one cares about. And then one of the doors open and we see Max. And then he closes the door and then he opens another door and it's Max again. And he's like teleporting around Kate and Simon's room. So the rooms move instantly now instead of in those mechanical intervals from the first one. And if you heard some cracking, that was my wrist. I'm sorry. So then Kate opens another door and finds Sasha. She's a blind girl. I don't know how old she is, but she's supposedly younger than the rest of them. And then this guy named Jerry comes in and he's marking the rooms, but he's been wandering for hours and he's only at like room 4 because of the way the rooms move. Sasha is scared of this sound that happens and she's like, it's getting closer, but you know, she never tells us what the fuck it is, which would have been really helpful for everyone to not die. But let's go. Then they're moving through some rooms and they open up on Max trying to stop Colonel Thomas from hanging himself. And then they all jump in and try to save him. Then Mrs. Paisley comes in. Paisley? It's Pele. Mrs. Pele comes in and she's an Alzheimer patient and she's really fucking annoying. In this movie, it's one of those things where it's like, they had a handicapped person in the first movie, so we're gonna put two handicapped people in this movie. And it's like, we didn't need any more. I mean, I don't care if handicapped people are in the movie, but what is the kid's name? Zaz or Zam or Zan? Whatever his name was in the first one. He didn't annoy me nearly as much because they played him more low-key. He only got, we're going to say, quote-unquote annoying when something bad was happening, but it was just some movements and yelling, which isn't as nearly as annoying as some lady rambling about shit that's not going on in the movie, the whole entire movie, except for one time. Everything else she says has nothing to do with what's going on. And even the characters want to stab her. I don't want to stab her. I just wanted her to not be in this movie. She didn't need to have Alzheimer's. She could have just been old. I mean, it could be dementia. I don't know. I'm not good with those. It's one of the two. And then something's coming again. And this distortion happens on one of the walls. The whole wall gets this, like, wavy, clear thing. And that's the CGI that I don't mind. You can't really do that practically. So the only way to do that is some movie magic from the fucking 80s. And you know what? It's just not worth it. The CGI wall comes in. Or, well, it just gets weird first. And then Thomas is talking about trying to figure out the code and how the first one had rules, aka first cube, and this one doesn't. The distortion now starts coming to eat the room, basically. And Thomas handcuffs himself to the stairs, and Kate tries to save him, but the distortion ends up eating him. And then when she's getting out, she sees herself looking through the other side of the door, or the other side of the room, which is kind of important later, but not really. It didn't need to be shown here, just to make it weird, but they don't do anything much with it. And when I say this guy gets eaten, it literally just, like, the wall comes, his feet get a little bit destroyed, and then they close the door and it's over and you don't need to see anything. Now we have we have our first room montage of this movie, and then they're like, room 6, room 7, room 8, and then they stop at room 10. And then Jerry decides to tell everybody that he designed the doors, and everybody gets pissy and questions him, just like the first fucking movie, with Worth and the damn shell. He's heard rumors of quantum teleportation, and they don't buy it, which obvs, but after you saw what you saw, maybe change your mind. Mrs. Pele realizes that some of the symbols on the walls are a tesseract, not the blue one that Loki wanted, but just in general. It's also known as a hypercube, and then there's this really long explanation of what a fucking hypercube is, and basically it's just they're in a space that is always moving because they're going through the fourth dimension, so there could be an infinite amount of rooms that they have to go through to try to get out. And I just explained all the stuff you needed to know in, I don't know, less than a minute, and it takes them for fucking ever to explain that. They look up and they see a number written on the ceiling, and it's 60659, and they think that's how many rooms there are, but Pele's like, yeah, there could be, like, I don't know, way more rooms. Then Max opens a door and finds Julia, and she's the woman in the red dress, and everything that goes with that statement from the Matrix. But gravity distortion, he falls. It's pretty funny. I mean, he catches himself, but he's like, woo! And then we get everybody's backstory. So Simon is a game, or not Simon. Max is a game designer. Julia's an attorney. Jerry's a designer, just basically what you know. And then Kate lies, Simon lies, and Sasha lies. Also, when they're telling their backstory, it's showing how they got captured or whatever. And I think the only one with an empty gurney was Sasha. Then they find another really long number that has 60659 in it. Then they find Jerry's watch from a parallel universe Jerry, because it's got the engravings that his wife had on, and he wouldn't have left the watch unless he had to. Things like that. And he's already wearing the watch. And Pele opens a door and finds Dr. Rosenwig dead. And he's a Nobel-level physicist. And he has calculations written all over the room. He's trying to figure this shit out. Kate writes 60659 on her arm. Gives a shit. How would you even forget that? It's written on every other fucking room you're in. Then we learn that Pele worked for Aizen, and she's a theoretical mathematician, and Aizen is a weapons manufacturing company. And Max brings up Alex Trask, who's this big time hacker that it's like kind of like Anonymous, where Alex does things because they think that that people are abusing their power and they want to kind of equalize it. It's that kind of thing. But then Pele opens a door and she sees herself and she grabs her own hand. And then Simon just stabs the shit out of the one that our Pele grabbed the hand of. And then these CGI prisms come up and take off Simon's head. And when I was talking about how they could do something practically instead of in CG, this is the easiest one and the only one that I am going to really talk about as far as a practical way to do this. Because if I can figure out a practical way to do this, then the people that made the movie definitely should have just done it. Okay, so you get an acrylic prism. You make an acrylic prism. You get a body stand-in of some description, and you put a fake head that can separate on it that looks like the actor, and then you slam the fucking acrylic prism that would look just like a glass prism or an ice prism or whatever kind of prism this movie wants us to have, and just slam his head off with it. Kate later sees this happen to her, and they could have done it there too. Easy peasy lemon squeezy practical effect that had to be a CGI one, so it looked terrible. There wasn't even blood. You whack someone's head off, you better believe that stump's gonna bleed. Anyway, they start talking about parallel universes now, because Simon just saw himself get killed, and also Mrs. Pele, but she probably forgot. Then we get more of a room montage and some sleeping. Simon is a PI looking for Rebecca, the lady from the beginning whose eye we saw. And then they notice this makes no fucking sense, but then they notice this square floating, and then it turns into a hypercube, and then it expands and eats Jerry, cuts him up. I don't know how you would do this one practically, but it mulches him up. He looks like shit, though. It's kind of like, remember at the end of Blade when Deacon Frost gets like cut in half, his arm cut off, and he's like floating away in his like bubbly blood? He's weird looking. Well, that's what Jerry looks like. It's fucking terrible. At this point, the group splits a little bit because Sasha's stuck in the corner and Kate goes back to save her, and Simon's like, leave her, she's dead because I'm a piece of shit. And then Simon reckons that everybody in there is connected in some way, and she's got Pele tied up and is threatening her. But you know what? This isn't an act in universe. She's actually fucking broken. So when he uncovers her mouth, she's like, I don't need an operation today, doctor. And then the prisms start coming, and then they eat Pele. It literally, they just, like, wash over her. It's really stupid. And then Max and Julia escape Simon, and there's some time distortion that's admittedly neat. So the thing about the last room that isn't really a trap, they figure out how to get out of it. I don't care if I'm jumping ahead. I don't give a shit. The way that they beat that room is by sitting still, and it responds to movement, but they were sitting still when it appeared in the first fucking place, so that doesn't make any fucking sense. I don't care that it's a hypercube. If you have a thing in a movie, make it make sense. The first movie made sense. You walk in, the sensors get you, and you get fucking killed, unless you can dodge the killing apparatus, whatever it may be. This one's just like, oh, it killed a guy because we needed a guy to leave and split up the group a little bit. And yeah, now it doesn't work anymore. That makes all the fucking sense in the world. Couldn't have just made them be able to escape somehow. Or like, she loses her glasses, and this is just as dumb, but since it ate inorganic matter, then it disappeared because it thought it killed everybody that's in the room currently. Or something dumb like that would be better than, we're not moving, so it's going away, even though it appeared when we were standing still. Fucking doesn't make any sense. Plus, it would have moved when they got into the room in the first place to take their nap. That would have been the most amount of movement. That would have just shredded them all to death. Okay, next. Kate keeps writing more numbers that don't fucking matter. They actually correspond to something, but it definitely doesn't matter. Sasha has a thumb drive on her necklace or some shit. They show, because it's important later and also fucking dumb. Simon's alone now, and he finds new Jerry. And then he for sure 100% kills him. But he's talking about how hungry he is, and he keeps talking. He's full on crazy now. And talking about how starving he is. So I'm gonna assume he just ate new Jerry. Then we cut back to Kate and Sasha. And Kate walks into one of the rooms, and it has everybody desiccated. Fucking like they sat there and starved to death. And it's been quite some time. So that's kind of neat, if I have to say some positives about this movie. But then after she's like, yeah, we're not the only ones in here, it cuts to Max and Julia. And Max designed the theoretical speed varying rooms for one of his video games, because he's a game maker. And someone is trying to steal it from him, like legally. And Julia's a lawyer for Izon, and she's like, yeah, that company's a subsidiary of Izon. You might as well settle, because you're never going to win. Once again, everybody is connected to this cube in some way. Back to Simon, finds a new Jerry, and kills his ass off screen. We just get to hear it. He also talks about how hungry he is. Back to Kate and Sasha. It jumps around like this. I'm not really leaving much out. All of this could have been spread out during the movie, and then we wouldn't have this mad rush. Kate's thinking, I wish I was stronger so I could figure this out, and then we learn that Sasha is Trask, the hacker lady, dude, thing, and she was gonna blow the whistle on the cube because she helped build it, but she didn't know people were gonna be put in it. But it's like, what the fuck would be the point of making the cube if you weren't gonna put people in it? There's no reason to have it unless you put something in it. And the only way to know what happens in there is to put a person in it. And if they get out, they can tell you what happened. So I don't know what the fucking thought process was there. But she was going to blow the whistle on it, and she escaped into the cube because nobody else would follow her there because it's so terrible. We get back to Max, and they resign themselves to banging, which you do get to see a boob in case you wanted to. But it's this, like, they're floating for some reason in the middle of the room. And her dress is, like, whipping around everywhere, and it's, like, quote-unquote artistic, which, I mean, to be fair, it is the most artistic part of the movie. But they start to age as they bang. And then we cut to Simon, and he's keeping trophies. He's got, like, 3 watches so far. But he finds Rebecca, and then he stabs her and eats her and takes her ID card as a trophy. I don't know if he actually eats her, but he probably talks about how he's hungry. Back to Kate and Sasha. This is when they tell us that Sasha built it. And then Kate sees dead Max and Julia, desiccated, attached to each other, floating around. And this is the image that I know from this movie. Like, Cube 2, desiccated body spinning around. Which, I probably saw this when I had a lot more hormones aflowing, and you would think that I would remember the boob part of this, but I only remember the desiccated part, and I am not going to go to the therapy to see why my brain remembered the death part and not the sex part. But we're nearing the end of the movie now. Now the rooms start really folding in on themselves. things start appearing and disappearing that were in other rooms, and Kate's freaking out, and Sasha's like, I'm just gonna be basically crazy, but not the murdery kind of crazy, just like resigned herself to death. And then Simon like peekaboos Kate while she's looking through a window, and Kate jams his own knife into his eye, but instantly he's back in the room and he has Sasha hostage, and he's looking old, and he's got like 7 ID badges, and he's got fucking a bunch of watches, and he probably has more stuff that I didn't notice on him, but he's looking old. And she's like, how'd you get there? And it's like, you fucking know, lady. And Simon says it, you fucking know. He's got Sasha in a headlock, and Sasha's like, it's pointless, we're all gonna die anyways. And he's like, fair enough, and breaks her neck. And you're supposed to feel sad because she's A, young, and B, was going to blow the whistle on this. But she fucking helped build the thing. And is she that naive that people weren't going to be put in it? You're so bored by the time it gets to this point, even though some things are going on right now, that you just don't give a fuck. And then Kate kills Simon she jumps through one of the windows and then jumps on him from the other side and gets the better hand and kills him. And then we learn that 60659... lines up with the watches that Simon collected, and it's the expiration date or time of the hypercube because it's unstable. Kate grabs a thumb drive and jumps through a hole as the whole reality is ripping apart. And then she wakes up, and this is the other thing I remember, a puddle of CGI metallic-y water. And then her higher-ups are like congratulating her that she found the thumb drive that has all the information, and I don't know how a blind person figures out how to put things in a thumb drive. And she never says she's actually not blind. In her backstory thing, they show her using Braille. And I'm not saying a blind person can't be a computer hacker, because I wouldn't even know. But I am saying that how the hell does she know what's in that damn thumb drive that she got? How does she know what file she went to? How? This movie doesn't make any sense, in my opinion. But anyway, she gets debriefed, and then they shoot her in the head, and then the movie ends. So the whole damn thing was pointless. It depends on the movie whether I care if the lead person dies or not, but she wasn't even a good guy, so it didn't matter if she died. And it's tough caring about this movie, in my opinion. So how would I change some things to make it a little bit better? Because it's never going to be great. Because the acting was better than the first one, but that's only because they didn't have a giant, terrible overactor like Quentin. The biggest overactor would have been Simon, and he's about even as far as that stock character goes. He wasn't too over the top until he started talking about eating people, but he only said that like 2 or 3 times instead of like always talking in the whole entire movie. So one, they needed to give us something exciting in the beginning. Like, they showed Rebecca's eyeball, and then she was in the cube. They could have shown Rebecca, if we're going to use what the movie already has, they should have shown Rebecca walking through the cube, because we don't give a shit about the people on the gurneys at all whatsoever. Fucking Sasha not being on one of the gurneys didn't change anything. That doesn't matter. So if they would have just shown more of Sasha being, not Sasha, more of Rebecca being stuck in the cube in the beginning and some weird stuff happening, because theoretically this is before the cube started deteriorating. That's why we heard all the sounds, is because everything was collapsing in on itself from the beginning of the movie. So maybe they could have shown us what it looked like before it started collapsing, and she could see some different rooms and some weird things happening, like other than gravity distortion. Like maybe when she saw the gravity distortion, she realized that she should use the boot. We'll use the boot because the first movie was big on boots. She could have taken her shoe off after she fell through the first one, and then like throws it into a different one, and some effect happens that has to do with the hypercube. Like it slowly flies through the air, or it speeds up, some of those effects when we get to the speed room, something to get us more intrigued with this cube, and then sprinkle in some of the weird things that are happening throughout the entire movie instead of backloading the back of the movie with it. Like, the parallel them dying thing could have happened way sooner, or if you just... I mean, you could argue that Colonel Thompson getting squished by a wall counts, but it's so blah and they barely talk about it that you're just like, oh, if they don't give a shit about it, why the fuck should I give a shit about it? The only time they bring Colonel back up after the initial, like, splat is when he's hanging, desiccated on a thing. They could have shown more things. Like, the reason that the first cube worked was because there was traps in the cube. So you're like, what happens when he goes in there? Oh, he almost got killed by that wire spinning thing. Or when, like I said, a face got melted. Or things like that. Or they had the needle room and they all had to go through the needle room and be really quiet. Things like that made that movie more like tense. This one is just like, we're walking through the rooms and we're walking through the rooms and then the thing starts to collapse and then it's like, yeah, I don't give a shit about any of these characters because you never gave me a reason to care about them in the first place. So what is the point of all of this? So if they would have just sprinkled some weird stuff in throughout the movie more, then it would, it's like oil and water, like literally oil and water. There's two levels. There's a little bit of a mix. It needed to be emulsified with some soap and mix everything together. I don't have anything else to say about this movie. If you're gonna watch it, just fast forward to the middle point and that's all you need to do. Like I said, nobody changes in this whole movie and you get the twist that Sasha's Trask and Kate works for the organization and then they kill her for no reason unless she didn't know what happened in the cube. But how do you work at that place and not know the general gist of everything? Because they purposely sent her there. Why wouldn't they send somebody that knows as much about the cube as possible to get it or something like that and then keep them at the end to do the debriefing and everything? It just doesn't make any fucking sense. Whoever wrote this movie needs to quit writing movies, and they might have gotten better. I don't know. I don't know who wrote this movie. It was a Lion Gates movie, though, so take that with what you will. I'm surprised Stallone wasn't in this movie, because pretty much all of his movies are Lion's Gates. Okay, that's enough rambling for now. We will look at Cube Zero, which is the third movie, which I fucking hate when movies do that. Just call it three, or give it a better name. So I hope you all have a good week. I will talk to you next Sunday. Bye.